You're listening to The Afternoon Magazine. I'm Jeff Bossert, sitting in for Celeste Quinn. The producer for the program, Harriet Williamson. Our technical director this afternoon is Jason Croft. Joining me in the studios this afternoon is Julie Byler, the chorale conductor and founding music director. The group's 24th season is about to get underway. The group just returned from Scotland a few weeks ago, and they'll have a couple of performances coming up this fall, including one involving the director of the Morven Tabernacle Choir. Julie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Jeff. Good to be here.
Good to be here. Before we get started, I will disclose that I am a singer with this group, but I'm a relatively new member of the chorale. A lot of people have stuck with it through the entire 24-year reign.
It would be true that there are some of us who have 24 notches on our belt, I think, so to speak.
Well, having said that, I'd be interested in knowing just briefly, you know, how we got started before we before we jump into talking about the upcoming season.
Well, it was 24 years ago in December when the Mahomet Main Street Merchants came to me and wanted me to gather together some singers who would come and Christmas carol. They give a walk at Christmas time, and the businesses open their doors, and so they wanted some entertainment. So we gathered together, 25 or 30 singers, mostly from church choirs around. We had to have rehearsals, of course. You know, I can't go just out and do anything without rehearsing. So we had three or four rehearsals, and we did some Christmas carols, which I thought was a one-time gig and that it would be over. There was, however, an internal movement afoot to keep going, and I said no successfully, I don't know, two or three times. Too much work, not enough commitment, that kind of thing. But there was a lot of persistence, and so we continued on, and with a lot of help and a lot of loyalty from group audiences in the Champaign-Urbana area, we're still here 24 years later.
The 24th season for everyone coming to see performances will commence with the November 12th concert featuring the chorale and the festival chorus of 120 singers. We're recruiting guest singers for this performance under the direction of Morven Tabernacle Choir Director Dr. Craig Jessup. Tell us how you were able to get in contact with him.
Well, my theory is if you don't ask, you'll never get anybody to come. It's how we got Alice Parker of Alice Parker Robert Shaw fame. It's how we got Gene Redpath here. And so the idea for Dr. Jessup came last spring, actually, when we were preparing a program of Civil War music. And I had listened to a Morven Tabernacle recording and thought, well, it would really be wonderful if we could get him to come and do some guest conducting. However, he was busy. So basically I said to him, so when is your schedule open? When could you come? And this fall concert of ours is called Celebration of Life. This actually will be our ninth concert of that title. And he happened to have this weekend free. And so it just kind of gelled that, let's see, Morven Tabernacle Choir, Great Hymns of Faith, Dr. Craig Jessup, that sounded good to me, and he was able to come, and so that's how that was born.
You mentioned let's talk about the music before we listen to a sample of it. What kind of things can we expect to hear?
In this November concert, we are going to do, the chorale is actually doing the first portion, and then, as you mentioned, we're putting together a massed choir, calling it the Festival Chorus, which we recruited by individual invitation. And that section of the program will be just exactly what I said, great hymns of faith, things that you and I probably have sung in church forever. Love divine, all loves excelling, praise to the Lord, my shepherd will supply my need. Just very traditional hymns arranged by Mac Wilberg, who is Dr. Jessup's assistant at the Morven Tabernacle Choir and does an enormous amount of arranging. They're wonderful arrangements. We'll be singing with a small orchestra of 17, 18 pieces. And so that will be the festival choir portion. The chorale's portion will be also sacred music, doing some of the things that we had done in our two previous first international tours. We'll be singing the Randall Allen Bass Gloria and a great arrangement of Here I Am, Lord, a gospel arrangement of Praise His Holy Name, and ending with a piece that, again, we did in the spring, which is a very interesting combination. It's called Hope for Resolution. It's a combination of a plain song that we know as Of the Father's Love Begotten, combined with some Zimbabwe words and rhythms talking about freedom for that nation.
Well, we could listen to a sample of something. By the way, Here I Am, Lord, as a lot of people have said, I think that was the song that had inspired a lot of our audiences in Scotland.
Strangely enough, I was so surprised by that. I thought maybe we would be taking something new over there, but almost at every venue that was a favorite, yes.
We'd like to listen to something now, I think, Nellie Bly.
Yeah, this is one that we did, as I said, as part of our spring Civil War music, and we took this to Scotland, too, and it was popular. Nellie Bly, Stephen Foster.
Nellie Bly, performed by the chorale in last spring's concert. It's become used often by the chorale, including the recent trip to Scotland that a number of performers went on. Remember how many exactly went?
Exactly, 37 singers and 11 others, as we are fond of calling them, including myself and our accompanist and spouses and siblings, that kind of thing.
That was a pretty remarkable almost 2 weeks, I guess, 10 days or so.
It was incredibly remarkable. We're reminded on a regular basis by the Scottish folk of how lucky we were about the weather, which was, I think, without exception, maybe one day we had a little rain, but it was wonderful. The venues were, you know, after going to Italy and singing in the Vatican and some of those ancient cathedrals, you might think couldn't possibly measure up in Scotland, but really the venues were wonderful. We were, of course, in Paisley Cathedral and the birthplace of Christianity to that part of the country, Iona Abbey on the island of Iona, in St. Giles in Edinburgh, which is the Church of Scotland Cathedral. And we were a part of the Fringe Festival, as I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you don't know, Jeff, since you were along, and sang at the Queen's Church in at Canongate when Queen Elizabeth comes to Scotland. She lives at the bottom of the Royal Mile there and comes to church at Canongate. So our venues were wonderful. Our food was delicious and the weather was great.
Well, you mentioned Gene Redbath, too. I mean, this upcoming collaboration with Dr. Jessup is just another example of, you know, what trick will we pull out next? What famous musical person will we collaborate with after this?
Well, you know how that happens, don't you? I walk my country road for exercise on a daily basis, hopefully daily. And that's where I do my thinking, and that's where these things come up. And I can't tell you where they come from, and I can't tell you what's next, but I do know that our collaboration with Gene Redpath has proven to be fortuitous and serendipitous and just about every other good thing you can think of.
Let's look ahead. The chorale is still seeking some singers for this upcoming event on November 12th. There's going to be some, as I mentioned, some guest performers with the chorale and festival chorus under the direction of Morven Tabernacle Choir Director Dr. Craig Jessup. So go to, I guess, thechorale.org if you're
www.thechorale.org. I should say that these spots that we have left, I'm being a little bit picky about hoping that I get tenors and basses to apply first. And our application process will close probably that first week in October. Have to be careful so that we have a good balance to give Jessup. He was the conductor of the Singing Sergeants in the Air Force before he took over the Mormon Tabernacle position. So he's well accustomed to working with men's voices. Got to be sure he has plenty of those. But people can also call me if they're interested at 586-2970.
Let's look ahead later in the season. The traditional New Year's Eve concert will be performed at the Virginia Theater in Champaign. Let's talk about musical selections for that.
Well, we've boldly entitled this evening Calendar Girls, and I know that that may conjure up some interesting images. However, just let me say that what we're planning to do with that theme is use tunes that have women's names in the title. So you will hear Nellie Bly if you come, and you will hear things like Hello Dolly and Georgia on My Mind and Maria from West Side Story and Cindy, a famous folk song, tunes of that nature. It is our 16th annual. It is our major revenue producing. In fact, it's our only concert for which we charge admission. And the revenue for that goes toward our Young Artist Scholarship, which we give away every spring. We give $1,000 to high school seniors who are going to go to study music at the university level. So that New Year's Eve is a two-hour musical extravaganza involving Warren York at the Wurlitzer organ. This is one of the very few theaters around still, a vaudevillian theater where the likes of Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin have performed, that still has with it the Wurlitzer organ, and Warren York plays that and maintains that, and Dan Perino leads our sing-along, and our guest for this evening, this New Year's, will be Julie McClary, who's an award-winning ragtime piano player.
That sounds like a great venue for ragtime.
Would be.
You talked about the scholarship recipients, and that's become a really large part. Not only it's mutually beneficial because of these talents benefiting from the funds, but many of them have come back to perform, years after they had received the scholarship.
Right. It's probably one of the best things that we do in terms of satisfying and rewarding. And we have established a practice of asking these kids to come back and share with us during their undergraduate days their progress and how they're, and it's not just vocal people. We have instrumentalists and classical and musical theater people. It is a treat to have them come back year after year. And now, because we have had some people express their interest in a financial way to help support this program, we're able to actually offer honorariums to those kids that come back and share their talents with us. We've given away over $20,000 over the last 15 years to really deserving students. It's rewarding to see what's out there, and hopefully they will take their music beyond their college years and go into their communities like this one, for instance, and offer maybe choral opportunities or band or orchestra, small group ensemble opportunities for community folks.
Julie Byler is our guest talking about the Chorale's upcoming season. Anything else you want to add about what would be, I'd be biased to mention what the benefits would be from being a member of the group. What would you like to maybe to have somebody come and perform with us in November and then perhaps, join the group sometime later?
Well, that would be a lovely fringe benefit if some of these festival choir singers are able to participate and find that this is a special group of folks, and it really is. In this community, with the university here, and so many opportunities for hearing just about anybody you want to hear, lots of competition for audiences and for dollars. It's not easy to stay as an independent organization growing and thriving as we have. So I think what gives us, as you know, our social life is a part of our success as a group. We work hard at rehearsals. Our musical standards are high. But I think we have a very caring bunch of folks. And these little side trips to Scotland and Italy are bonding good experiences for folks.
Julie Byler has been our guest. The Chorale's 24th season kicks off November 12th. That will be held at Faith United Methodist Church, the next performance there. Julie, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.